Well, this week, we talk about the Muppets. You ready? You ready? Okay, we don't have a lot of money for special effects around here, so that's what we get, folks. I put out on the marquee that this week was the Muppets. It was fun. I actually watched someone stop and take their picture at the marquee sign, pointing at the Muppet Gospel. That was sort of new for me. Someone taking a picture of the sign. I also had a couple friends on Facebook say they were going to come and sit in the balcony and heckle like Waldorf and Statler. They didn't show up. I'm okay with that. Well, it all started with a hope-filled frog from the swamp. And then the collection of friends he gathered along the way. They went to Hollywood, they became famous, and they took Manhattan by storm. They caught cat burglars in England. And they were adored by families in their living rooms night in and night out on The Muppet Show. But that was 30 years ago. In the newest addition to the Muppet movie franchise, the Muppet Gang is no more. The music hasn't played in 3 decades, and the lights haven't been lit since the gang went their separate ways. Now, we never quite find out the reason that everything sort of fell apart. We never find out the reason for the breakup, but in The Muppets, the newest of the Muppet movies, we begin to find out where they are now. You see, furry, fuzzy, funny man Fozzie Bear is performing a lounge act in Reno, doing renditions of The Rainbow Connection that invite people to visit the buffet and park their RV out back. Miss Piggy is the plus-size editor for Vogue Paris, enjoying selecting the dresses that adorn the lovely pig on the go in France. Gonzo, the ever-wonderful whatever, is a plumbing magnate specializing in used toilets. An animal, the wonderful drummer, is in anger management. And their fearless leader, the little green hopeful frog, Kermit, is a recluse, living alone in a dark mansion, and no one has seen him in years. Now, in their absence, the world has changed, and the Muppet Studios, where they used to perform, is about to be bulldozed in an evil land grab by Tex Richmond. Isn't that a great bad guy name? By Tex Richmond, who cares nothing of the Muppets, and he only wants the oil that resides beneath their all but abandoned Hollywood theater. Into this moment comes Walter, a young boy who has idolized the Muppets since he was a child, when he realized he had little in common with anyone else in the world except them. And thus begins the adventure. I mean, all they have to do is get the gang back together, who hasn't seen each other in years, and then put on a television show they haven't done in decades, with only 3 days to prepare in hopes of raising $10 million to save the theater in the Muppet name. Well, there it is. If you haven't seen this movie, I invite you to. It is a treasure, just like all of the Muppet movies. The characters created by Jim Henson and company bring to life parts of who we all are. The hope-filled dreamer, the timid leader, the diva, the misfit, the goofball. Each Muppet is a snapshot of humanity in their own way. And in this movie, they confront one of the greatest challenges any one of us can face. In the midst of a world that feels like there is no place for them, they must remember who they are. You see, this is a movie about identity. There are countless examples in this movie. Every single character deals with it. Every single subplot ventures into the theme, but they all center back around to the idea of knowing who you are. This main storyline is a classic example of what it is to have forgotten who you are, and the struggle that we embark on to remember that amidst a world that doesn't seem to have a place for us. You see, it's made very clear to the Muppets by the many TV executives who keep turning them down. No, we're not going to put your show on the air. We've got other things to do. It's made clear to the Muppets by these TV executives that they don't fit anymore. In one moment, they go in to see a TV executive who says, no. Shows like yours have no appeal. Today, people want to watch shows like Punch Teacher. And the Muppets all look confused. You know, it's a show where students punch their teachers. And just in disbelief, I had to go, wow, if that isn't a commentary on where America finds itself sometimes. The evil oil baron, Tex Richmond, says it best when he looks directly into Kermit's little eyes and says exactly why he's going to destroy their theater. He tells them exactly why he's going to replace them with a punk grunge parody group called the Muppets. He says it this way. The Muppets are a hard, cynical act for a hard, cynical world. The world's moved on, Kermit. No one cares about your goody-goody, hippy-dippy, Julie Andrews and Dom DeLuise hosting singing and dancing act no more. There you have it. The truth of the matter is it's hard to remember who you are when it seems like there's no place for you. No place for you as you were, no place for you as you are, no place for you as you might become. So what are the Muppets to do? Or should I ask, what are we to do? Because struggles of identity are an everyday occurrence. And when I say everyday occurrence, I don't just mean, yes, it happens somewhere to someone at least once a day. What I mean here is that struggles of identity happen to each of us every single day. In every action, in every interaction, in every reaction, in every choice, each one of us has to reconcile who we are with the world around us. But who are we? Do we remember? And even if we think we know, is it something the world will accept? You know, it was when Tex Richmond went on this rant about the world moving on that my mind began to wander to another evil character whose name actually sounds like he should have been a Muppet. Nebuchadnezzar. Wouldn't that have been a great Muppet name? In the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament, we find the world has moved on from where it once was. The goody-goody, hippy-dippy land of Judah has been besieged by the hard, cynical acts of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar now rules the land and has forced the Hebrew people to turn from their ways. He even constructs this massive golden sculpture of himself, and he instructs all people to worship it, or else. Well, this is one of those moments where the people have to remember who they are. I mean, the Hebrew people are not going to worship these false idols. I mean, it didn't work out that one time. And yet, Hebrew person after Hebrew person bows down. They don't want to risk what Nebuchadnezzar will do. There is too much at risk in that hard, cynical world around them. Because the world, as they know it, has no place for them. But there's a small group of people who decide they will not forget who they are. They are driven to do what seems impossible. They are driven to remember who they are. And in that process, remind the rest of the Hebrew people who they are called to be as well. The small group is made up of three people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refuse to bow down. The king is enraged. You don't do this. Not to the king. Not when he's set a rule. And so he decides he has to make an example of them. He has them gathered up and has them thrown into a fiery furnace. And in the midst of the flames, they stand together. Not only that, but they are joined by the presence of God. And together they survive that fiery furnace and they emerge out of it to tell the world something important. They remember who they are. You know, this story is often used to discuss the power of faith. Other times it's been used to discuss God's presence in the midst of troubles. But just having watched the Muppets, I hear a story of identity. These three men refuse to let society and the changes that challenge them redefine who they are. They remember that they are God's people. They remember all that that can mean. And if you listen to the story, they're able to do this because of something important. They're not alone. They do this together. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we find in the book of Daniel shares something in common with the story of Kermit, Piggy, and Gonzo that we find in the Muppets. Community helps us remember who we are. Now, I'm not asking us to become enmeshed and entangled together in a way that leaves us unable to feel whole without others. That's not community, that's codependence. But in community, through friendships, we can find the strength to be who we are, to remember who we're called to be, even when the world pushes back. There's a little used book of the Bible that appears in the Apocrypha. Now, the Apocrypha won't show up in the ones in your pews. It doesn't show up in the ones in your hotel rooms. It shows up in the big study Bibles. The Apocrypha is sort of like an appendix to the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And in it, you'll find a book called Sirach. The book of Sirach shares a lot in common with the book of Proverbs, for example, because in it you'll find lots of short little blurbs of wisdom. And in the 9th chapter, you'll find this phrase: "Do not abandon old friends, for new ones cannot equal them. A new friend is like new wine. When it's aged, you can drink it with pleasure." Friends need to be aged. Maybe that explains it. Perhaps I have a few friends whose tannins need to mellow. That might be something. But this wisdom is wise for a reason. Our identities, our callings, who we are, is not something that can be fully known without some time and investment. Because old friends carry with them the story of where we've been and what we've been through and the things that have shaped us into who we are. Now, this is not to say we should hang on to every single person forever in our lives, regardless of circumstance. There are often relationships that need to be let go of so we can remember who we are. In fact, this is even exemplified in the Muppets when Tex Richmond's henchmen leave him after looking at each other and asking the question, "Are we working for the bad guy?" Sometimes we have to ask that question and leave a relationship. But when the relationships are healthy, when the friendship is deep and the community is supportive, being together helps us accomplish things we couldn't do alone. It invites us to remember who we are by knowing that there are others who will hold us accountable to that. Kermit is ready to continue living in sad, lonely obscurity until three people who appreciate him interrupt his life with support. And then once surrounded by those people, well, okay, they're not people, they're pigs and bears and chickens and whatevers. But once he's surrounded by the people that know him well, he's able to become exactly who he is, an optimistic, charismatic, undaunted, hope-filled leader. This is the kind of thing that community can do for us. Sometimes it's offered to us by family. Sometimes it's offered to us by friends. And certainly it is something I hope you can find in this place, in this community. This is a community that wants to support you as you claim who you are. Because remembering who we are isn't about thinking back to some long-forgotten identity we may have forgotten and abandoned. Remembering who we are is about holding on to who we are in a hard, cynical world. Remembering who we are is more about not forgetting who we are each and every day. In the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they remembered who they were, and they brought back religious freedom to their people. In the case of the Muppets, they remembered who they were, and they brought back the greatest gift of all. No, wait, that's children. They brought back the second greatest gift of all. No, wait, that's ice cream. In the case of the Muppets, they remembered who they were and brought back the third greatest gift of all, laughter. You have to watch the movie to get some context around that. And in our case, we are invited to remember who we are every moment of every day. And in so, we will bring the world the unique, wonderful gift that we are. People who are perfectly created by a God who loves us. As we enter into a time of Holy Communion, I invite us to remember who we are by claiming our need for God's grace. This prayer we open communion with, this prayer of confession, is really a recognition of our need. If you would join me. Merciful God, We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience to your Spirit that guides and shapes us in the image of love. Help us to turn from our self-centered or self-denying ways to take part in your creating, redeeming, transforming work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.